I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Welcome to Luke's Massive Storytelling Podcast Thing. Whoa, yeah, here we go. Check it out now. Enjoy.
Hello, and welcome to Luke's Massive Storytelling Podcast Thing. My name is Luke, and this is my thing. So, right now, I'm walking through the streets of London, walking down Savile Row. I can see some very fancy suits. I can see some very fancily dressed people. And I can see a Belgravia hair loss clinic sign. Cool. Thanks for the reminder. So as you know, a couple of weeks ago I went away for what some people might call a holiday, and in the airport I found what other people might call a book. And the book stood out to me. It's like bright yellow cover, really nice typography on the front, and it said it was written by a guy called Robert Kelsey, and the book was called The Outside Edge. And I don't know, something about the book just spoke to me, just from the cover. And I picked it up, had a look, and it's all about outsiders who, and the sort of the struggles they face in life, and you know, what they can do to succeed in life. Now, on my show, I never really particularly wanted to go too heavy on like self-help or anything like that, but occasionally, you know, I think it helps. Selves, obviously. But this guy, I read his book and I instantly felt like he was talking about me. Like, a lot of the factors that he says causes someone to feel like an outsider. I felt like, wow, that's exactly what happened to me. I mean, maybe a part of that is me just sort of wanting to be an outsider. I don't know, but some of it rang true for me. And I thought it might ring true for a lot of you listeners, because as in the book, he states a lot of outsiders, they feel like they need to have a creative pursuit and they end up in the creative arts.
I went on holiday last week, and in the airport I saw your book. And yeah.
Where'd you go?
Mallorca.
Oh.
It was good, it was nice. But I saw your book, and so firstly the cover drew me to it, but then I'll tell you what sold it to me was that I saw Ryan Holiday. Had put a quote on the back, and I really love Ryan Holiday's work.
Oh, good. Oh, that's good news. Oh, I like Ryan Holiday's work as well. I often get asked about Stoicism, and feel like I shouldn't be, because really whatever I know I've got from him, and so he should be the person to be asked, really. But I certainly use his book in it, in mine, I think it's a great philosophy.
Yeah, I got the Marcus Aurelius Meditations book, but I prefer to read Ryan Holiday's book, just because that's quite dense, the Meditations book.
Yes.
He's very good at I don't know, explaining it in sort of modern language, I guess.
Yeah, very good. I have a bit of an issue with mindfulness. I've got nothing against it. It's just not for everyone, I think. And I think I'm one of those people where it's not for everyone. But I've always thought that actually there's a whole sort of panoply out there of potential solutions for people. And you know, NLP, CBT, you know, meditation, all of that. And I'm perfectly happy with all of them. I think that it's whatever gets you there, really. I'm pretty convinced it's, if you were to do a brain scan it would be the same part of the brain that's being sort of enlightened, if you like, or you know, during meditation or during, you know, when you're doing using NLP or whatever. And I think that I'm perfectly happy that you use whatever you use to get there. You know, I think religion is probably also, you know, some spirituality is also an element in that, but it's just not for me. I think I'm too practical, too impatient, too earthly, if you like, too sort of, you know, focused on reality.
Yeah, I think maybe mindfulness or self-help or whatever, or meditation, is more palatable to me than religion. It just switches me off when I think I have to. I don't know. I need more facts.
No, I agree. But it's the same. I agree. It's exactly that. But it's the same bit of the brain that is being stimulated. I've no doubt about it.
It's weird that you say self-help, because I mean, your book, most self-help books are, it feels like you're reading a longer blog post. But your book, I mean, I've read it all the way through. I'm going to have to go through it two more times because it's so packed with information.
And yeah.
I mean, do you class yourself as a self-help author?
I used to class myself as an anti-self-help author. And but I've sort of accepted the tag a bit more lately. There's a difference between me and self-help authors, I think. And that it's mainly that my view of most other self-help authors is, one, they're too dependent on NLP these days. 90% of self-help is NLP based, and I think that's crazy. You have to go back to sort of Dale Carnegie and even Stephen Covey actually to get sort of pre NLP land. The trouble with self-help is it starts you at zero, I think, and aims to take you to 100, but you don't start at zero. You start, if you come to self-help, it's probably because you're at minus 100, you know, and you've got to deal with that. You've got to deal with people's psychological issues. I read a lot of self-help books and then they would help. They were interesting. I would apply them. There'd be a setback, I'd tire of them, I'd discard them, and then I'd feel further back than I'd started. And I went through that cycle again and again and again. And I think that it's because it wasn't dealing with the psychology. I think it was trying to take you forward without actually really having a good look at why you are who you are and how you've got yourself in a situation that requires self-help.
Yeah, so I mean, in the book you talk about a growth mindset.
Yes,
is that something that you feel like you've always had, or is that something that you feel like there was a switch, or is that like a
I battle with a fixed mindset almost daily, and I think that's what I said in the book, you know, because I mean it's Carol Dweck and it's her book Mindset that is very revelatory. I think it's one of those real aha moments when you read that people have either a fixed or a growth mindset, and those with a fixed mindset feel that their attributes are fixed, and they're often just trying to prove things to people when they meet them. Those with a growth mindset are just open-minded, and when they meet people, it's what can they learn. So, and I think obviously there's a confidence element in there. But I was very much someone with a fixed mindset. I felt that my main objective whenever I met anyone was to show them that I was a good person, that I was an intelligent person, that I was what they wanted, you know, that people would have a good view of me. And that was a constant concern of mine. And once you get it's very easy to move to the growth mindset and then say, wow, all you've got to do is flip the switch and you have a growth mindset. But and it is that easy, but it's just as easy to switch back. And your default position is a fixed mindset. It's almost like you've got to have a, you know, growth mindset tattooed on your hand or something, so that every day you're reminded. And so a growth mindset isn't something that comes naturally to me at all. It's, you know, a lot of my insecurities and some of the psychological issues I've had over the years have come down, have caused me to have a fixed mindset. They've created that, and obviously, you know, I wanted to get over that, and the growth mindset helps you get over those issues. But you know, your default position is your insecurities, and that's one of the things that I, all of my books, as a theme right the way through all of the books, which basically says, you know, I describe it best in the first book, What's Stopping You, where I say that there's a monkey on your shoulder, and every self-help book up until now that's been written seems to be telling you, you can kill the monkey, you can remove this monkey and move forward. And I'm telling you, the monkey's coming with you. And you know, and the insecurities you've got now, you're going to still have. You're not going to cure yourself. There's no cure. The monkey's coming with you. So what are you going to do now? And that tends to be the big message I have, is that, you know, these insecurities are here to stay. You can get yourself in a better place. There's no doubt about it. You can give yourself a growth mindset. You can grow. You can become more confident. But you are who you are. And you know, the monkey's coming too, and you're gonna have to deal with that. Otherwise, what happens? And this is my objection to NLP a lot. What happens is that you move forward, you grow, everything's going well. There's a setback, and you collapse at that point because you weren't ready for it. You weren't aware of it. You weren't thinking. You know, you were thinking you were cured, and suddenly you're not cured. So you're not back right to the beginning, except. It's even worse because now you've lost the huge support that you had. So my view is, you know, you've got to look at it very differently and say, hence me talking about anti-self-help, self-help, in that I think, you know, I'm not offering a cure here at all. I'm offering a way forward for people who, whoever they are, whether they're outsiders or insecure people, you know, people with fear of failure, etc. I'm offering a way forward that doesn't tell you you're going to be cured.
It's almost like you're saying, just you have got your own problems. You can have to accept that and find your way around that and sort of learn to deal with what you've got, really.
It's structural, you see, because it's not about dealing with what you've got, because you can grow as a person. But what was the biggest issue for me, you know, as a sufferer, what the biggest issue for me was setbacks, in that I couldn't cope with and I would they would floor me, they would send me right back to the beginning, and they happened again and again and again. And of course, the problem being is that you were looking for a cure. And then when you were not given that cure, you know, something went wrong, you collapsed. You went straight back to the beginning, you collapsed. And I'm saying things are going to go wrong all the time. You know, what you actually need is more resilience. You need to be able to grow and have resilience. And the resilience isn't going to come from some miracle cure. It's going to come from having a path, being along that path, watching yourself move along that path, and accepting the fact that there will be setbacks. Things will go wrong. You know, every step forward will produce a, you know, hopefully a smaller step back. There's going to be lots of issues going forward, you're not necessarily going to cure your insecurities. I still, you know, all the things I suffered from right at the beginning of all this process for me, I still suffer from now. And the difference is I can rationalize them a lot quicker, and I don't let them wreck my reactions and my output. You know, I have insight and awareness.
The Robert Kelsey interview, to be continued in part two.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.